you're able to connect, to create those touch points. It's just a different animal, but you can't drive a billboard into the parking lot of an Eagles-Giants game and interact with the fans. And that's a big component about, and Greg alluded to it, that's a big component of what we're doing, where we're able to create value for our tourism clients.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Stoker, and as always, we've got a great show for you today. Just a reminder for those that may be new to the show, I own an advertising agency that really helps destinations get the right message to the right people at the right time, and part of that process is going to encompass what we talk about today. I've got a really unique vendor in the tourism space that I'm going to have join me on the show today. I've got Greg Starr and Mark Ligos from Carvertise. And guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam.
Absolutely. We're excited to have you. We've got two of them here, everybody, so I'll be directing my questions a little bit better than I just did when I said, hey, guys, welcome to the show. But we'll fix that along the way. So let's start with Greg. Greg, you're the founder of Carvertise, and we're going to get into your story and your background and kind of how you ended up where you are today. But we've got a couple questions we ask everybody that comes on the show. So first, Greg, what is your dream destination? If you could go anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Oh, man. That's a great question. There's a lot of places I've never been. I would love to go to, like, I've heard St. Petersburg, Russia. I've always wanted to check out. I've never been to Europe. So there's a lot of places in Europe I'd like to go. And then I'd like to go to, what's it called in Wyoming, the Jackson Hole in Wyoming, and Yellowstone is another dream. But one of the best parts of being in the tourism industry is just like learning all about the destinations and then just booking there. So like I was just in like Delray Beach because I knew the Visit the Palm Beach County people and they were like, come here. And I was like, great. And Tampa, I learned so much about Tampa and how awesome it is. So yeah, it's one of the best parts of this job is meeting tourism people and learning about how awesome their destination is.
Yeah, the only problem is your bucket list just keeps getting bigger and bigger and harder to fill. At least that's what I'm finding. Now, Greg, Mark laughed at your answer of St. Petersburg, Russia. So I'm just going to warn him that his answer better be good if he's going to laugh at someone else's answer. So, Mark, tell me, what is your dream destination?
Well, I'm glad you asked him first because it gave me a moment to think about it. Sydney, Australia is number one on the list. Just the idea of going to Australia and, you know, it seems like a cool, great place to go. The people seem very chill. I like that about it. So if I had one specific destination and I'm going to keep my bucket list short, it would be Sydney, Australia.
Okay. And you know what? Greg didn't laugh at you for that. Greg respects your answer. So it must have been
a
good one,
Mark. He's a better man than I am.
I would love at another time to dive into those answers a little bit more, maybe when we've got some more time on the show. But for now, that's great. I want to go into maybe each of your favorite trip you've ever been on and why. And let's start with Mark this time. Greg, keep your laughter to a minimum.
It's hard to laugh at this one. When I was in college, I played football. And as part of a all-star trip, I got to go to Japan for a week. All expenses paid for by Epson Computers. And had an unbelievable week in Japan with 30 other 22-year-olds and played a football game against a team in Japan. So without question, my favorite trip of all time was going to Japan. Johnny Unitas was our coach, which, you know, if you're a little bit older, you can remember who he was. That was something. It was just incredible.
So that sounds like an amazing trip, Mark. And it's kind of funny because I don't hear Japan a ton as the dream destination, but it may be the most common answer for favorite trip someone's ever been on. I think Japan might be a little underrated, and when people get there, they're kind of blown away.
Oh, there was so much to do, and then, like, every day we would go here, we would go to the gardens, we would go to the mountains. It was just every day was something new and incredible, and the history of it is amazing too. It's just so, you know, it's 3,000 years old. It's the temple, the gardens. It was just incredible.
Sounds amazing. Awesome. Okay, Greg, how about you?
My favorite trip was Belize. I went there around 5 years ago, and it was just awesome. I mean, just great weather. Like, the people there were awesome. Totally changed my outlook on, like, life stuff. It was deep.
How did they change your outlook on life? I got to hear that.
It was, this is when we were like, company was like, we were just like struggling, to be honest. Like, we had a good year, but we didn't know if we were going to be able to make payroll and stuff. And then you go to like Belize and like, everyone's just like chilling. Like, their definition of work is much different than ours. Like, they work to like, it's a means of living. It's not like they're not living to work, you know? It's like,
yeah.
So they're just like, yeah, they're just hanging out on an island, working, having fun. That's the mindset. So that changed a lot of perspective for me. So I really enjoyed that trip.
So it gave you a different perspective on kind of an alternate approach to life.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. All right. That's a conversation I'd love to dive deeper into offline when we're not in the middle of the show, because I've got other questions, but it's not what we're here to talk about today. So if we could start with Greg and have you give us a brief version of your background and the company history and kind of how you ended up where you are today.
Yeah. So I was, in college, and I met Mac, who's, our partner, and, you know, he had the idea of like, hey, let's put ads on cars. And I was senior in college, like no prospects. And I was like, yeah, this seems like a very obvious thing. Let's work on it together. And prior to that, I'd been a camp counselor, which like, I say that like, people are like, what's your worst experience? I'm like, I was a camp counselor. And like, camp counselor is like a really tough job. Like, you got to communicate, you got to motivate people, you've got to deal with administration. Like, it's not like, I'm serious when I say that was very good training, you know, when I was a camp counselor. And then, so we started the company in college. And then, I moved to Delaware to try to pursue it. I took some part-time jobs early on, painted houses, recorded music concerts, tutored people. And this was like in 2012, and we just kind of struggled our way through, getting customers, getting some financing. I say like, I blacked out for like 3 years, just trying to like, 2014 to 2016 was just like a blur. And by that point, we finally, got a business model down where, we're paying people to put ads on cars. And then what really shifted for us is when we started partnering with Uber and Lyft drivers. Because it was like, instead of just paying everyday people, what if we paid people who were driving all day with Uber and Lyft? And that was kind of like the aha moment where this started really taking off. And then conversely, we were also, 6 years in, we finally found the tourism industry. We were like, wait a second, there are destinations here that just need to advertise all the time and need to reach people in a different way and need to target specific geographies. Like, and on top of that, combined with the fact that, cars stand out, they're cool looking, and that Uber Lyft drivers often talk about, it's a very travel oriented channel. People take Ubers from the airport, and all like the factors were just combining where we found the tourism industry, and then our growth has just taken off exponentially.
Awesome. Yeah. It's kind of funny. I never considered that it may be cheaper than an MBA to become a camp counselor, and you actually make a little bit of money for it, and it trains you adequately to be a CEO of a company, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my partner's CEO, I'm co-founder, but, I'm a camp counselor is a totally underrated job. And if there's that experience on a resume, I'm like, just talk to me about that. Like what happened there?
Oh, that's funny. Okay. So you talked about Carvertise and kind of the origin story. I really like that you said you just blacked out for 3 years while you were just doing everything you could to try to get the company up and running, because I think that speaks to the passion as an entrepreneur. I want to talk about why I felt like Carvertise is a super interesting idea for the tourism industry. You guys, in fact, Greg, I think it was you were recently on the Tourism Media Mayhem podcast. That's another podcast in the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. And I thought that the topic that you guys discussed would be really interesting to talk to our audience about as well. And so the fact that you're taking these vehicles that are already out in the marketplace and you're putting ads for destinations, and right now you're focused on if a destination is trying to pull from a specific market, the vehicles in that market have ads for the destination you're trying to pull them to, right? And I think that's really interesting. I do want to talk a little bit today about the idea, when we had been at a restaurant far too long down in Vegas that we started chatting about at eTourism Summit last year. But before we do, I kind of want to hear a little bit about Mark's background. And Mark, tell us a little bit about, obviously we know you were a big time ripped college football player that went to Japan to play a football game, but tell us how that kind of segued into where you are today.
Yeah, never quite achieved rippedness, but I did play football. I actually was, it's kind of a convoluted story, but I graduated from college. I went to law school. I practiced law for about 10 years and then got pulled over to the Philadelphia Eagles radio network, working there, where I was working with Jimmy Fisher, who's our director of business development. And he and I hit it off and became very, very good friends. And about, at this point, it's probably like 4 or 5 years ago, he had left the company and started working ultimately with Carver Ties. And he kept telling me, hey, we got this great thing going. It's awesome. It's a great concept. And I, you know, we would have lunch all the time. He would tell me all about how things were developing. And finally, a couple of years ago, I moved out to California. Right before I left, I met with Greg and Mac and Jimmy together, and they kind of gave me the story and kind of what Greg just told me, told us. And ultimately, I moved out to California, and it was just the perfect time. And these guys kept saying all the right things, and you could see the progress. Even back a few years ago. And so I was like, yeah, I'm on board. So I came on in June of 2019 from Odyssey, which was Entercom at the time. And here I am. And it's been an incredible and crazy last 2.5 years. We could talk about the growth of the company, but it's just like tourism is a huge category for us, but there's also entertainment and legal and all these verticals that we're starting to penetrate in. But tourism is definitely one of the ones that's really growing for us. And I've had a very, getting there, starting, things taking off, and then the pandemic starting and kind of a lot of categories shutting down and able to persevere through that and then come out of it and be where we are today. It's been quite a ride.
And your specific role, Mark?
So I run I'm the kind of the director of West Coast, director of sales for the West Coast. So I'm in Los Angeles. I kind of target up and down the West Coast and, you know, out to Vegas and a little bit into Arizona. And I just kind of handle our sales operations out here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and what's been fun is seeing the growth. You mentioned, hey, we could talk about company growth. Seeing the growth in the tourism industry, more and more destinations trying out this concept of utilizing the Uber and Lyft vehicles in the market they're trying to pull from. I think it's been fascinating to watch. Mark, you're in it every day selling the product with different destinations. What sort of applications are you starting to see of the use? Like, what are some of the creative ideas that you've seen destinations use to maximize the value of your product?
So I think often it's just creating a presence in a specific market, and the creative is always, you know, it's pretty simple. Visit Indy, visit Tampa Bay, and then, you know, you make it, and then you're able on the car to create an attractive kind of picture where people see the car, they react to the car, they notice the car, and then if they get in the car, they get marketing materials while they're in the car. So you're creating a presence in the market that you want to reach with creative that says, you know what, going to Tampa Bay when I'm in Toronto for the winter maybe isn't such a bad idea. And that kind of resonates with people. So, you know, we consider it active out of home, where you're out of home, but you're interacting with the people in the market in various different ways. And I think that, you know, it starts with the creative and making it appealing to people when they see it and they notice it and they react to it.
I like that, active out of home. Greg, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, one new thing we've been doing recently is something called swarms. So let's say, to Mark's example, Visit Tampa is putting cars in Chicago, right? And it's an activation for, you know, 8-12 weeks. What we'll do is we'll send cars to like Bears games, or we'll send cars to Bulls games, or we'll send cars to the Chicago Food and Wine Festival, right? So what you can do there is not only do you have, you know, these Uber Lyft cars that are driving all around, people are seeing them, they're asking the driver, they're talking to them, but the cars are then going to places where the destination's targeted audience is going to. It's a whole new element. So that's been a really popular trend of sending cars for destinations to these events in local cities.
Now, can I ask a quick question there, Greg? So when these swarms go to an event like a Bears game or something like that, do they go and just sit outside the event, or are they actually functioning Lyft and Uber drivers to take people to and from those events?
It's both. So what we'll do is we'll say, hey, Eagles game starts at 1 p.m. Get there at 12 o'clock and just start, like, get inside the stadium. Like, we pay them to go inside the stadium and just start driving around. And that's one element. Another element of it is, hey, let's work. We want you to, like, work an event. Maybe it's like a conference. Maybe it's like a Meeting Planners International conference. And in that case, it's like, hey, go outside the venue and turn your Uber app on and just start accepting rides from people that are going to and from, right? So there's a lot of this, like, very specific targeting you can do to get the right audience. And then on top of that, we have a digital retargeting service where we actually capture device IDs of people who are around the car, and then you could send them digital messages to their phone. So, you know, analytics and tracking is a big part of why we've been able to not only just get clients in the tourism industry to try it, but they're trying it and they're seeing results and they're growing our presence with us. So, you know, we have a lot of success stories of hey, let's try, you know, a few ad units in this market, and then next cycle, let's double it, let's triple it, right? So that's been the story for us.
Yeah. So when you consider outdoor advertising as a category, most outdoor advertising, like, for example, billboards, things like that, you don't get that kind of data and opportunity to connect with digital. That it sounds like you're creating multiple touch points through your product, which I think is really interesting. Mark, I know you had something that you wanted to kind of add to that. What can you add there?
Yeah, and I think when you mentioned earlier, we're talking about active out of home, and I think it's this is, swarm events are a perfect example of it, where you sit, well, like we sent Visit Cooperstown to the New York Giants Philadelphia Eagles game in New York, sent the car right into the parking lot, and we have, you know, the pictures are almost funny because you have a group of Giants fans who kind of swarm around the car, and they're taking pictures of all their friend of all them around the car. And then subsequent to that, you have a group of Eagles fans around the car taking pictures of themselves around the Visit Cooperstown car. So you have, like, Philadelphia Eagles fans and New York Giants fans don't get together, but they both love the Visit Cooperstown cars. So you're able to connect, like you talk about touch points, you're able to connect to create those touch points where, you know, it's just a different animal, but you can't drive a billboard into the parking lot of an Eagles Giants game and interact with the fans. And that's a big component about, and Greg alluded to it, that's a big component of what we're doing, where we're able to create value for our tourism clients.
I like that. I like that. Okay. I think your product has a variety of uses, it sounds like, and this idea of the swarm, the new usage of it, that's using these swarms for events, is another interesting concept. You know, you think about a billboard and you kind of get one shot at them in the location that the billboard's in, and you can run a digital billboard campaign and use multiple locations. But Uber and Lyfts have the ability to get into a variety of places that billboards can't, right? So if there's not billboard inventory outside of an event, then you don't really have the opportunity for outdoor advertising unless you utilize something like Carvertise. One of the things that I talked about in my New Year's resolution episode that I did, I talked about New Year's resolutions every destination should have. And one of those is tangible stakeholder support. I think destinations need to do a really good job of supporting the businesses within the destination. A lot of them do it indirectly, but for the business to actually feel that touch and feel that connection, it needs to go a step further. And when I was talking to you guys down in Vegas at eTourism Summit last year, we talked about this idea of what if destinations, instead of buying a fleet of cars, I guess they're not buying the fleet of cars, but buying access to the fleet of cars and the fleet of Uber and Lyft drivers in the market they're trying to pull from. What if instead they bought a fleet of cars within their destination and each vehicle had an ad for a different stakeholder within the destination, so that we're informing visitors that have already spent the money to come to the destination, we're informing them of the different activities they can do and enhancing their experience in the destination. Tell me a little bit of your thoughts. I know we discussed it in Vegas, but how do you foresee destinations utilizing this type of an idea? Instead of buying outside of your destination, maximizing the earning potential for the visitors that come in. Greg, did you want to start there?
Yeah. And, you know, I think part of why I jumped on board to your concept so much is because a lot of what we were hearing is, oh, this is a really interesting concept. Hey, do you have any idea how we can reach Uber drivers in our own destination? Because, you know, you get to a new place and you call that Uber and your first touch point is with the Uber driver who's driving you to the hotel and you're asking them, what's going on here? What's there to do around town? That driver is like a negative Nancy. It's not a good look, you know? Like, I've had experiences with that. So if you could, you know, if you could find a way to get in contact with your Uber and Lyft drivers, your rideshare drivers, and you say something like, hey, we'll wrap your car and, you know, you'll get paid for it. And we'll give you these pamphlets to hand out so that every person you pick up from the airport, you know, you're coming here. You're like, hey, check out this restaurant. Check out this destination. Maybe the Uber driver themselves didn't know about this stuff. So all of a sudden you're getting access to these centers of influence that are touching the tourists that are coming in. And you're also building their excitement. You know, they live there. They feel like they're part of the team. The more, you know, stakeholder advertising and influence you can do within your own city, the better. And that's a long-term investment. You know, that's not just like a one-off. That's building a culture around your destination of people who are excited to be there, excited to tell tourists about it and excited to promote what's going on internally. So I think I think you touched on something major there, which I think is very forward thinking of you. And I think it's going to be the next kind of pillar of destination advertising is, you know, and I'm going a little rant here, but, you know, people talk about government relations, right? Stakeholder relations, right? That's a big part of every destination, but you got to like, that's also marketing, right? You know, like you can do all that, like you need to market well, right? And I think the next phase of stakeholder influence is like marketing heavily and building relationships heavily in a different way that was previously thought. So, you know, I'm a big fan, as you can tell, of that concept. And I think that utilizing cars and Uber drivers is a chapter in that process.
Yeah. I mean, imagine having 100 mini concierges within your destination that can give information about the destination, about the specific stakeholder that's on their vehicle. And now you're turning possible detractors into promoters. I think that's a really, really a great way to do more guerrilla type marketing than the traditional, hey, just place an ad and see what happens, which obviously I know there's more to it than that. But Mark, let's go to you. I know you want to add to that.
Yeah. And I think Greg hit on it. It's, and you just referenced it, the drivers, they become, you know, the big word now and is influencer, the influencers mm-hmm. on the internet, influencers on Instagram. And these guys all become mini influencers in their markets because they're not, I mean, they're now aware of these places, the museum, the restaurant, the hotel, whatever the case may be. And they become mini influencers in Indianapolis and in Tampa or in Chicago, wherever they are. So that's one, I think, real value to it. And the other is, and I think we may have talked about this in our initial meetings, there's almost a dual value to in-market marketing where you're going to target the people who are tourists who are coming in and visiting, but you're also going to just ancillary benefit is you're reaching the people who live there and they're reminded every day, you know, you should go to this restaurant and there is a museum in your city that you should visit. So there's a value on it for the visitors and there's a value to it for the people who currently live there. So I think it's a real, there's real value in that.
Yeah. It's funny. So now you're pointing out that you've got a combination of we're adding value to visitors so that they can better navigate the destination, value to locals because they can better utilize the assets that they have around them constantly, and then tangible stakeholder support. It checks a lot of the boxes, right? And yeah. And if I'm a stakeholder and I've asked the question, well, what does the DMO do for me? And then every time I'm driving around town, I see a car with my logo on it driving around town. It's a much more tangible demonstration of value. And so it's what I believe. And it's so funny because we've talked about this and, you know, just to be clear for everybody listening, it's not like we've plugged Relic into this concept and understand how, like, this is an idea that I threw at Carvertise because I just think it's too good to pass up. And so I think it's going to be one of the next waves of making sure that you're doing your in-destination advertising correctly and engaging your stakeholders correctly. And with this wave from Destinations International that everybody needs to become a community shared value, this feels like it checks a lot of those boxes. So I'm excited to see where this concept goes with Carvertise, and I'm really hoping that I start going to destinations and get into an Uber or Lyft with a local stakeholder business on it as time goes on and we travel in the coming year.
Yeah, and we've started to do this a little bit, like a City of Newark, New Jersey, Make It Main Street campaign. You know, like they're promoting local restaurants, things of that nature. So it's starting to catch on, but again, I think we're very early in this, you know, potential wave.
Well, maybe we need to go speak about it at some of these conferences, Greg. What do you think?
Yeah, you got to, you know, say things 10 times.
That's right. Well, Mark, anything you want to add?
No, I think that Greg hit it. It's definitely something that, even like our concept, to be honest with you, people need to hear it a few times and kind of get their head around it before that they can really jump into it financially. Because at first you're like, well, I don't know if that really makes sense. But then the more you think about it and it starts to kind of sit with you a little bit, then you're like, you know, that's a really good idea. And that's really going to benefit the people that, you know, when Visit Indy advertises in Chicago, their ultimate goal is to help the people, their stakeholders in Indianapolis. And this is another way to directly do that. So yeah. I just think it needs a little bit of kind of like maturation or where people can get their head around it. And then I think, you know, then it'll start to take off.
Yeah, I absolutely think it will. Greg touched on something earlier that I want to dive a little bit deeper into, and that's the analytics that are available. We touched on it, but I'd like to be a little more clear. What can a destination expect in the form of data and analytics from doing a buy with Carvertise?
Yeah, so we built our analytics around, like, if a tourism is presenting to their board at the end of the year, you know, for their annual meeting, what can they show? So it's threefold. One, it's just pictures of the cars. Like, people need to see. It's a very visual medium. So you show great pictures of the cars out and about throughout the town. And then there's the whole data behind that, right? So you can, we have an interactive heat map that you can literally zoom in and see the highest levels of penetration by zip code. Where the cars have been in the city. So if you're trying to target specific zip codes in Chicago where more higher income people go, you can see how much reach you got in that market there, right? You can see all the miles that have been driven. You can get a count of how many impressions and eyeballs were on the cars in that area as well. And then additionally, we also take surveys of the drivers, right? Like, you know, everyone talks to their Uber driver. You know, you get in, you talk. Like, they're smart. You know, they're entrepreneurial. People say things to them. So we take surveys and we ask them questions that the client will direct us. Did you know that Tampa is a good, you know, destination for kayaking? Did you know this? Have anyone asked you about it? Has there been any interaction? So we get a ton of anecdotal feedback and survey data on what people are saying. It's like the ear to the ground, which is also very helpful,
yeah.
Right? And then the last point is, if you want to go with our retargeting services, we can show click-through rates of how many people clicked on an ad of people who saw a car and then was delivered out on their phone. And that click-through rate is typically higher than a normal digital ad campaign because of that, you know, they've been served a real out-of-home ad first with the car. And then we could also track how many people went to a website, a web page based on who saw the car as well. So there's a whole suite of analytics product, you know, that we provide our clients. And again, it goes back to like the stickiness of why I think people are trying it, but then not just trying it, but expanding and growing and continuing to work with us.
Yeah.
So that's key, because that's where every tourism marketer is like, hey, how are we going to prove this? How do we know what's working, et cetera?
Yeah, I think especially as a traditional medium, which technically, as I look at Carvertise, outdoor is a traditional medium, but what you've done is you've layered on a digital and measurement component that you can't find with a lot of other traditional media. So I think that's really interesting. Mark, were you about to add something?
Yeah, and I think Greg can probably actually speak to this more specifically, but we're able to provide case studies and a number of examples of the impact that their campaign had through the use of data. And I know we did one for Visit Gulf County. We did another one up in Pennsylvania that showed tremendous growth for the client over the course of their campaign through the use of digital data. You know, whether it was visits to their website, I think, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they were both examples of increased visits to the website from a specific area that they had targeted.
Yeah, one of them was more focused on just hotel occupancy. So they just did, like, we were their main push in a city like Nashville, and it correlated to a 33% increase in hotel bookings. We weren't the only one, but we were like the biggest investment in that market for them, right? So
yeah.
And then the other one is they put a, you know, URLs and showed web traffic, keyword search, and you know, we took a destination, Visit Cumberland, that, you know, they're not that well known, and we put their advertising in big cities, which is very expensive, right? Normally, you know, try to advertise in a Philly and a DC, and you know, we put them on, we helped put them on the map there, you know, figuratively, literally, with getting them good results and for a very, you know, not too expensive, you know. So yeah, the analytics help, and it's just the direction things are moving.
Yeah, that's a super interesting usage that you're mentioning there with Visit Cumberland, and you know, you guys have talked about a lot of interesting stuff today. That this is not an endorsement of, hey, everybody needs to go call Carvertise, but my job in bringing products and featuring businesses on my show is to make sure that people are aware of the unique products out there. And you guys are offering something that I haven't seen anywhere else in the industry. And with this new community shared value push, I feel like there's a ton of value there that really hasn't been utilized correctly, I will say, by a lot of these destinations that might be listening. So if people do want to learn more about you guys, where do they go? What do they do?
Yeah, check us out, carvertise.com. We have a whole page on our website dedicated to tourism, so you can see a lot of examples, case studies there. Also, connect on LinkedIn. That's the language of business professionals. We're very active. So connect with you know, us on LinkedIn, and we'll see you at conferences. We're going to like 20 conferences this year. So special breaking news. I'm going to announce it here on the Destination Marketers podcast.
Yes.
We are going to be hosting a basketball game at one of the conferences instead of the usual, let's get really, you know, let's drink a lot and party, which is great. Maybe one night we play basketball first and then we go to, you know, happy hour after. But change of scenery for those who want to maybe get some activity and, you know, after a day of conference. So that will be a Carvertise and Relic experience coming to you in 2022.
Yeah, Greg and I were talking at the last conference how much we enjoy pick up basketball, and we're like, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this at one of these conferences? So we're going to let's see, we'll post it on the DMPN social pages. We'll post it on the Destination Marketing Podcast social pages, and I'm sure Carvertise will advertise it as well. We'll also send a pre-registration email so that if you're going to a conference and you're wondering if there's going to be a pickup basketball game hosted by Relic and Carvertise, that you're aware and you can bring your shoes. So yeah, I'm excited for that. As someone who doesn't drink, it'll be nice to have an activity that I feel a little bit more at home in. So that'll be great.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of, yeah, you know, it's, I agree. A lot of people don't drink. It's almost like side subject, but like, it's almost like awkward if you don't drink, you know, like you probably deal with it, but like, you know, I don't, you know, it's a whole nother topic, but like, yeah, I think we should have some fun activities within the industry that are not just all about, you know, drinking. So I'm excited about this.
We're pioneers, Greg and Mark. We're pioneers.
You're going to be the Twisted Ankle crew next time you have your podcast.
You know what? I hate to admit, but I have been on crutches several times thanks to basketball.
You and me both. So. Yeah, the older I get, it gets worse and worse.
Well, awesome. Hey, thanks a lot, you guys. I appreciate your time, sharing your expertise, your experience. I think it's been really valuable for our listeners. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Adam.
Awesome. Awesome.
And to our listeners, thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please don't forget to leave us a rating or a review wherever you listen to podcasts. It always helps us to continue to grow the show and continue to provide these unique bits of information like we did today. Thanks, everybody, and have a great week.
This is Sasha Jackson. I'm with Tourism Media Mayhem. If you've ever had a hard time selecting what media tactics would be best for your destination, we can help you out. We talk about tips and tricks for media planning and buying on our podcast. It's a lot of fun. Myself and my co-host Josh have a good time arguing over traditional and digital media. So if you want to hear that and also help with your media planning, give us a listen.